With the lesson this morning, I've been thinking about kind of what to present and just some ideas, and was thinking about, been starting to read every night with Jacob, just small Bible stories. We kind of have like an illustrated Bible that we've been reading every night. It's got about 50 lessons, and they're only about a page or so, two or three pages a piece. And we've been reading through that, and we just finished it up, and we're starting it back over this year. And I keep asking Jacob, I'm like, what's your favorite story? And it seems like the only one that he can remember is David and Goliath. And I think about how that is such a story that as young ones, we remember that story. We think about those things. And I'd actually like to use that as the premise for our study this morning. So Jacob, this one is for you. Exactly. It's fine. Five smooth stones. We're going to be talking about the five smooth stones this morning. We're going to use this as the premise of our study. Now, when we think about David and Goliath, we think about a lot of the pictures that might be in those illustrated books or these versions. Now, interesting enough, I actually last year got to go where this actually took place over in Israel. It does not look like this. By the way, I always think it's interesting when artists draw what they think the areas look like. You know, it has this epic look to it. It doesn't. It's more of just fields and valleys where this would have actually taken place at. But when we think about these two characters, we think of Goliath, and we think of even maybe some of the terms that we use today with Goliath, and we think of David. We always think of this underdog story. So that's kind of the thought and the focus that we will have today. But really, when we look at the idea of Goliath, Goliath was a giant warrior. We're going to talk about that a little bit more here in a minute. He was a Philistine, right? This is kind of in the area of Gaza today, and kind of think about what's going on over there. That's what area this was from. Also, that's who David killed with a sling. But we also use the term just as a giant. We use that word Goliath as a giant. A very powerful or influential person or thing is kind of maybe how it's defined in other terms. So today I was thinking, well, what about Goliath of a problem? What if we are faced today with problems? And these are just my definitions of these. I didn't look these up. These are just what I'm kind of thinking to kind of put our minds with thinking about the verses we're going to look at today. Goliath, when you face a big problem that you can't escape from, right? The Israelites couldn't escape from Goliath. We're going to see that he came and presented himself every day. This is something that they could not get away from. It had to be faced. It was an overwhelming problem that didn't go away. Somebody had to step up and make a decision. Somebody had to do something. Now, like I mentioned before, the term Goliath, we use that to think about things, right? Things that are large. Take, for instance, I've used these pictures before. This is a Goliath fish. You can see it's huge, right? So you have a Goliath beetle. And I think by far the most terrifying is the Goliath spider. I think by far that's probably the most terrifying term. When I think about the word Goliath, right, it just means large, that presence. So we are going to spend a lot of time in 1 Samuel this morning. So we're going to look in 1 Samuel 17, and we're going to look at what David faced. Now, the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle, and they had gathered at Succoth, which belongs to Judah, and they had camped between Succoth and Azekah, and Ephesdemium. Now, I probably should be able to announce those better since I've been there. And Saul and the man of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Eli, and drew up in the battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mount on one side, and Israel stood on the mount on the other side, with a valley between them. Now, the mountains in Israel are not very big. So think of just a valley, and these are standing on two different sides. And the champion came out from the Philistines named Goliath from Gath. Just, we're going to remember that he's from Gath here in just a little bit. Whose height was 6 cubits in span. Now, some definitions would give him to be about 9 foot 9, 10 foot. There's an array. There's different ideas that are given with that size. But again, he is presenting himself. And he does this for 40 days. So the Philistines drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. And David is thinking, we need to do something about this. And you know, David's not even in the army at this point. He just comes to visit his brothers. And he's like, aren't you doing anything about this? And in 33 it says, and Saul said to David, because David's like, send me, I'll go fight this battle. You are not able to go against the Philistines to fight with him, for you are a youth and he is a man of war from his youth. And I think about that with Goliath. Now, I know that we just read about his height, but I'd like to take a look at verses again real quick. You know, I hadn't thought about this until I was reading something the other day. And I never considered the term about scales. And I hadn't thought about this. And now this is the NIV version. This is just kind of looking at these different terms. And I want to read this real quick and just kind of reflect about some of the things mentioned. So in 1 Samuel 17 and 3, starting in verse 4, a champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, okay, we're going to look at that again, came out from the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits in span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he wore a coat of scale armor of bronze. Now, some terms may say like a mesh or chain mail, kind of giving that idea that he has got this heavy armor on. Weighing 5,000 shekels. On his leg, he wore bronze greaves and the bronze javelin, which slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went out before him. So his shield bearer went out. You know, I never really considered that when you think about what Goliath looked like in kind of the terms that are used, he's kind of like a serpent. It's kind of like representation of almost the devil at this point. I never thought about that, you know, and this is something that I definitely need to read more and consider. But even just the scales of armor, to think about, he almost has this serpent-like appearance. Because we think about the serpent visiting Eve in the garden. We think about that impression that that was given. You almost see that vision here. But we also think about what David did here in 1 Samuel 17, 39 and 40. So, he's getting ready to go up against this huge challenge. Then he took his staff in his hand and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag and a pouch which he had. His sling was in his hand and he drew near to the Philistine. So why did he pick up 5? Why did David pick up 5? Was he afraid that he's going to miss? Did he have fears that God was not going to help him out? Why did he pick up 5 stones? Well, if we look at this a little bit more, we can see possibly why he picked up 5 stones. Because we see in 2 Samuel, remember that we talked about David being, or Goliath being from Gath. In 2 Samuel 21, 20-22, it says, yet again there was a war at Gath. There was a man of great stature with 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each foot, 24 in number. He was born to the giant. So when he defiled Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimea, David's brother, killed him. These 4 born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. I believe David knew he had to pick up 5 stones because there are 4 others coming to get him after he takes down Goliath. So I often think, would I have picked up 5 stones? Not only thinking that the one was going to be able to take out Goliath, but the other 4 individually were going to take out the other 4 that were coming against me. I think if it was me, I would be putting every rock that I found in the stream in my bag, thinking that I'm going to need this protection. But that's not what David thought. David thought not only is God going to protect him with one stone, he'll protect him with one stone against each opponent. So do we think about that when we face criticism? Because David faced a lot of criticism before he went up against Goliath. So in 1 Samuel 17:32 through 33, when David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go out and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go up against him." Right? We had already looked at this. We looked that David was already kind of pushed down, saying, "You can't do this." Even Goliath said that. Goliath said that right before he died. 1 Samuel 17:43 through 44 said, "The Philistine said to David, 'Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?' And the Philistines cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, 'Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beast of the field.'" It didn't work out very well with Goliath. Now, I've done other studies where I've talked about kind of the trajectory of what somebody could do with a slingshot. Now, these aren't like, I think of like Dennis the Menace slingshots. They had different types of slingshots, right, with slings and throws. I often think that David was very skilled in this mission. He was, you know, we knew he was a shepherd. And we also see that there's other people in the Bible. I don't know if anybody remembers some of these verses, but there's actually other people in the Bible that were mentioned that they were very good with a slingshot. And I'm just mentioning this because sometimes when we face different things, we also need to be skilled in the Bible. So not only was David skilled, and he had faith and trust in God, that's what made everything work. And I think that just like with David probably practicing his slingshot, we also need to practice and study the Bible so when we come up against our Goliaths, we know how to fight against him. But I just wanted to mention this real quick, just in case. Judges 20, 14 through 16. Now, there's a little bit more to study and read out here, but I just wanted to mention this because I think this is fascinating. From their towns there came to Gibeah to fight against the Israelites. And so there's a war getting ready to come against the Israelites. Once the Benjamites mobilized 26,000 swordsmen of their town, in addition to 700 able young men from whose lived in Gibeah. Among these soldiers were 700 select troops who were left-handed. There you go, Mike, I think Mike's left-handed. Each who could sling a stone at a hair and not miss. These are almost like sharpshooters. We think that there is a lot of skill to that. I just wanted to mention that because I don't know if anybody had ever thought about that before, that that was definitely a skill and a training, and to think that these people, specifically there were 700 left-handed people that knew how to do this. That's very kind of specific. But also, I was thinking, we also kind of need to watch what we say when we think about slinging stones and coming up and fighting. We also need to be considerate about what we're up against. Because as David was up against Goliath, we know what Goliath had said. And then, like I said, those kind of being his last words. And Goliath was struck down. We see some other instances where people's last words were not necessarily the best things they could have said. So in 2 Kings 2, 23 through 24, it says, "Now he went up to Bethel and was going up the road, and some youths came out of the city and mocked him and said, 'Go up, you bald head, go up, you bald head.'" Now, this was mocking here. It's mocking a man of God, and he turned around and looked at them and pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord, and two female bears came out from the woods and mauled 42 of the youths. So again, these individuals should have been concerned about what they said. Again, they were mocking a man of God. There's a lot to this story. But could you imagine two full-size bears coming at you, taking out 42 of the youths that mocked them? Right? Bears are pretty fierce. Therefore, we should be careful what we say. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Also, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good or necessary edification, that it may impart grace to others. We're talking about brotherly kindness and brotherly love this morning. Also, Proverbs, "Where there is no wood, a fire goes out, and where there is no gossip, contention ceases." Because I think we need to watch what we say, and we need to have that skill when we present things to others. Just like how David was skilled with a sling, and he knew who he was going up against. He knew what his adversary was capable of, but he knew that God was behind him, and he knew that he had the skill to take him over. Because we need to consider today, just to make sure that we are also not just throwing stones. And a little bit of an Andy Griffith reference, right? This is Ernest E. Bass. Right, because he would always throw stones at a window, just to break the windows, right? So some of the things that I was thinking about with this lesson, about just how we are to approach things, Ephesians 6:4 says, "And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in training and admiration in the Lord." That we are not just taunting and teasing or provoking, but we're bringing them up in love and admiration to the Lord. Also, Proverbs, "Like one binds a stone to a sling, is he who gives honor to a fool." Are we just preparing ourselves to throw something? Or are we ready to enter a fight? Do we know what we need to do? So when we continue, John 8:7, "So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, 'He who is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone.'" We see this as Jesus is stopping individuals from getting ready to stone someone who was having an affair. This really made everybody think for a minute that they needed to consider what was going on before they cast a stone. You know, are we just throwing stones? Or are we preparing ourselves to go up against a Goliath? Are we ready to deal with these problems? Because if we put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wills of the devil. That we would have the armor, that we would be able to withstand those things that would be hurled at us. Maybe some of the stones that are thrown at us. Are we ready to defend those things? Also, 1 Thessalonians 5:11, "Therefore comfort each other and edify one another just as you also are doing." Because we are to exhort one another daily, Hebrews 3:13, "But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." In 1 Corinthians 16:9, "For a great and effective door has been opened to me, and there are many adversaries." We know that there are many that go up against us. As you guys know, I work in cybersecurity. One of the most popular books about going up against cybersecurity is called Adversarial Thinking. And it was actually written by a preacher. So I think about his thoughts when writing that book about facing adversaries and how we should be. Because we know with God, all things are possible. Matthew 19:26, "But Jesus looked at them and said to them, 'With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible.'" And in Romans 8:13, "That when shall we say to these things, if God is for us, who can be against us?" And then the last verse that I'd like to read in closing today, mercies of God. And Romans 12:1-2. "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So as we face our adversaries, as we face our Goliaths in life, We know that there's a lot of things even just going on in this small town, things that are happening at the library and things that are going on at the school board. As we are facing these things, we're thinking about these giants that we're coming up against. But today I'd like to extend the invitation, because how do we defeat this giant? How do we become more skilled? How do we know that when we come up against something that we're ready for it? We think about defeating that giant. We think about the common things that we mentioned here as an invitation that we need to hear from Acts 2 and 41. Believe, Mark 16 and 16. These are just examples. There's more. These are just individual verses that I'm giving for these. Repent, Acts 2 and 38. Confess, Acts 8, 35 through 38. Talk about baptism, not the removal of filth from the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God, 1 Peter 3 and 21. And we know that we are to continue in our faith in 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. That how are we going to defeat these giants in our lives and these things that we are faced with? We know that if we become a child of God, that we can put on the armor of God to help defend against those things that we'll find in life. If you would like any prayers, if you'd like to become a member or a child of God, please come forward as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.